Welcome to Dunzo. This is a podcast that explores hookups and breakups of famous lovers and friends, both real and fake, and all the discarded pop culture of yesteryear. I'm your host, Troy McEady.
Hi, how are you?
Wait, you can hear me, right?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I'm amazing. How are you?
I'm good. Oh my god, I miss the sound of your voice. I feel like I haven't heard your voice in forever.
Troy, I really feel like since I stopped having my own podcast, I've sort of just like fallen into obscurity, and I kind of feel like chic about it, but I do miss you a lot.
No, I'm actually, that's the dream. Like, literally, I don't know if that's like, I think that if I did that right now, because I've leaned so much into all the worst cliches with the pandemic, but like, I think that would be like the end for me. Like, I would truly become Nell and just like live in the woods.
Honestly, I'm like a heartbeat away from going to a place of Nell.
Yeah, just having like your own language that's like a woods language.
1000%, and just like bonding with like woodland creatures. I mean, I haven't seen Nell, but doesn't she do that?
Well, she basically is feral. She's a feral human, and she like her language is just moans and groans because it's like just her.
Right on.
It's me by Friday.
Okay, Nell, go off.
Well. So, to all three of you listening right now so far, hi. Thank you for joining us. I'm excited about this. So, this is obviously just going to be super chill. And I just thought it would be fun because I know that you love a romantic comedy. And yes. I love a romantic comedy. And I think what romantic comedies you gravitate towards actually tells a lot about you as a person. Like, I just think everybody has, like, a romantic comedy queen that they...
Yeah.
Relate to, love, like have had a crush on, whatever. So
can I ask you, is this like a first date question for you where you're like, what's your favorite rom-com?
It's like it's up there.
Yeah.
It's up there.
It's important data.
It is important data. And sometimes the answers can be so shocking, but like usually in a good way, because it's romantic comedies. You know what I mean? It's interesting right. No matter what.
If you're like, what's your favorite rom-com? And someone's like, Failure to Launch, you'd be like, okay, I don't know if it's going to work out.
Right. Do you have like a definitive, this is the one that I always watch when I was younger movie?
Throughout my whole life, it has been my best friend's wedding. I think it's the perfect movie.
Really? Okay, what made you like gravitate towards that when you were younger?
My mom always liked it, and my Aunt Karen, who was, like, my coolest aunt, always really liked it, and I feel like it was just, like, something... I really feel like my parents, like, took my sister and I to see it in the theater. I think it was one of those nights where my mom probably wanted to see it, and they couldn't get a sitter, so, like, I feel like I saw it in the theater and was like, this is boring because it's not a cartoon, because I was, like, very young when that came out.
Right.
But then I kind of feel like it would always, like, be on, like, in our house, and then once it was on the TV, it was always sort of, like, the, like, Sunday movie that was on like E, and my mom would be like making dinner, and like my best friend's wedding would be on that, or like ABC Family, RIP ABC Family. And so I just kind of feel like it was always around, and it just became this like comfort movie for me. And I've always fancied myself a Jules, and I'm not proud, but that's how I feel.
Were you, when you were younger, did you know that you wanted to act? You did, right? You always knew.
Always knew.
So did romantic comedies, like, did that movie have a big impact on you wanting to become an actress?
Yes, to this day. I'm not even kidding you. Like, I did this, like, 3 days ago. I'll listen to the score from my best friend's wedding. And when you get to the part where Jules in the movie is chasing after Michael, and it's like, Michael! And she's, like, chasing him in her crop top. I will never look like that in a crop top, and I just feel like I have to say that, but I literally like daydream about playing Jules in the remake, and I've already like aged out of it. Literally. Because I'm gonna be 30 in July.
I love that though. Ironically, mine is also a Julia movie.
Which one?
My romantic comedy is Pretty Woman, which I guess is kind of cliche, but
one of the first things I found out about you is that you love the song Wild Women Do.
Oh, right.
Pretty Woman.
Yeah. Pretty Woman had a huge impact on me as a kid. Like, because when I was little, when I was really young, we didn't have cable. And we would like record a lot of movies like on like cassette tape and like on DVD. And so then we would just like watch these like HBO recordings of movies all the time. And Pretty Woman was one that we own. And I mean, I literally watched it probably, at a certain point in my life when I was really young, I probably did watch it every day. I won't even lie to you about that. I probably once a day watched Pretty Woman.
Oh my gosh, that's how I was with like Stand By Me. I watched it four times in one day once, and it was because I thought River Phoenix was like it, but that's neither here nor there. Pretty Woman is fucking great. And but okay, but here's how I feel about it, and this is like maybe a fucked up thing to say. I like the parts where she's like rich. Like I like it when I get the most excited when she gets to the hotel and like things with what's his name start happening. Not Richard Gere, but what's the character's name?
Edward.
Look, Edward, no hands, no hands. Wait, how do you feel that Brittany also loves Pretty Woman? Like, does that make you feel that much closer to her?
It does, because I can, like, picture the parts of the movie that Brittany would, like, belly laugh at. Like, I just know.
Do you think Brittany loves the bathtub scene?
She loves the bathtub scene. She thinks that the sex on the piano scene is, like, extremely erotic.
Yes.
When Julia like sits on the keys, and she fucking like keels over and like just fucking honky tonk laughs when Julia says that she almost peed her pants at the opera. Brittany loves that scene for sure.
This is why I say that you're like not just a Brittany fan, like you're a Brittany whisperer. Like you fucking know.
I'm her conscience.
Yeah, you're like telepathic with her.
I wrote down some I wrote down a list in my notes app of classic romantic comedy girls.
Great.
And I just want to know like your general thoughts on like, because obviously we've established we're both Julia girls.
She's perfect.
She's the one for me. But I know like you, and also by the way, anybody who's listening, like feel free to join in this conversation because I think this is so interesting. I love seeing who people's romantic comedy girl is. So obviously we have Reese, of course.
Duh.
Kate Hudson, of course.
Okay, but can I say something though in the realm of Kate Hudson? Another girl that I didn't name who is my rom-com girl is Catherine Hahn, my queen.
Okay.
Catherine Hahn in How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, like that is my dream role. Like that is the role that like I want to play so badly. Like the friend who's like kind of a mess but like is stunning, even though the audience is supposed to accept her as like homely, and it's like she's literally not. She's gorgeous and perfect, and her comedic timing is second to none. And like I just need to say that Catherine Hahn is also low-key a rom-com girl to me.
You know, it's so fun that, like, women like Catherine Hahn, like, the girls who back in the day would have been considered always just, like, the funny, quirky
Judy Greer.
Yeah, totally. The Judy Greer. It's so fun that now, like, we all have an understanding that that's the GOAT. Like, that girl is the movie always.
Like, it is their time. And, like, I'm sorry, I've said this on, like, 10 different platforms by now, but, like, I'm just really sick of people being like, it's the Hanna-san. It's like, oh, my God, we love Catherine Hahn. And, like, it honestly, like infuriates me. I'm like, where the fuck have you been? Like, exactly. She has been iconic since 1998, and I don't know why the fuck you were sleeping on Catherine Hahn. But, like, that's between you and your therapist, and, like, take it off of Twitter. I can't even hear it.
I 1,000% agree with that. I had that moment with Toni Collette.
Yes!
Where I was like, excuse me? Like, did you not watch United States of Terror? She played 8 characters on the same show. Fuck Troy, off.
In The Sixth Sense, she is 26 years old playing that role.
Oh my God.
Like, the mom in The Sixth Sense, like, she is weathered. Like, she has seen some shit. That scene in The Sixth Sense where she's like, I'm tired of my heart. Did you take the bumblebee pendant?
Yes.
You know, like, she's fucking exhausted. And I'm like, that is a 26-year-old woman. And, like, mentally and emotionally, she's, like, 59.
She's fucking amazing. Like, did you see Hereditary? It's like, yeah, I fucking saw Hereditary because I see everything she's in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw it. Don't ever, like, I hate people. But yeah, I mean, I think Kate is like really has Kate. Is like top tier.
Magnetic.
Totally magnetic. Made for a rom-com, honestly. Like, is just built for it.
I love her laugh. She's the cutest laugh.
Yeah, she inherited all of the quirkiest, most charming shit from her mom.
Yes!
Like, the greatest qualities. There's obviously Sandra, of course, doy.
Oh my god, Sandra, my babe. I've really been having a hankering to rewatch Miss Congeniality lately.
You know, you can always guarantee with Sandra that there's going to be some really good stuttery comedy, which I love. I love stuttery comedic women like that Diane Keaton. You know, I love me some Diane Keaton.
Duh.
Like, I love stuttery jokes.
it's so specific.
I know. There's, of course, Drew.
Oh my god, Drew Ben. My favorite. There is a movie that she did with Justin Long called Going the Distance that I think is so underrated.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen that in years, but I remember really liking it.
Because they're both just so cute and they have so much fun together. And Justin Long is one of my celebrity crushes, and I'm obsessed with his Instagram.
Yeah, he's so cute. And yeah, so cute. They do have really good. They dated, right?
That's yes, I think for like a while, like for a few years.
Well, there's of course Drew, and then we go down to Jennifer Lopez. What are your thoughts on Jennifer's rom-coms?
Wedding Planner. Well, some of those lines do not hold up. Some of the lines in that movie are very problematic, but love the Wedding Planner. I also, sorry to like go on a tangent because I know we're talking about like rom-com queens, but like Matthew McConaughey in the Wedding Planner is so delicious. Like, I just fucking love him in that movie. And yeah, J-Lo is everything always.
Well, Matthew McConaughey is a rom-com queen, though.
You're right.
So that's like kind of on point. Yeah, I mean, he's the queen of the rom-com, honestly.
And like, I feel like J-Lo too just brings like, she just, A, she's just like fucking stunning. And B, like, she just brings such like heart to like every role she does. Like, you know, like Made in Manhattan also, like, I just think you're rooting for her, even though she's like doing fucked up shit in that movie and like stealing what's her name's clothes, but you're like, yes, like, wear that cream jacket and just like pretend you're a rich person, like, fucking do it. Like, I just think she has a really beautiful like vulnerability and like openness to her as an actor and as a rom-com queen.
I agree with that. I love Monster in Law.
Troy, I'm so sorry. I had one beer and it like really hit me. We do not talk about this movie enough, but I do remember, I will tell you this. What year did that come out? Like 2005 or something?
I would say so.
I remember watching it at a sleepover, and my friend Jessica, who like would like low-key always say bitchy things to me, but like as like a I'm just kidding kind of thing. Right. I remember we were watching that movie and she goes, she looks at Jane Fonda and she goes, that's going to be you one day. And I remember being like, thank you, Jessica. I took it as like the biggest compliment in the world. I was like, oh, you mean like a bad bitch with like a literal estate and like her own show who like looks hot as fuck at the age of like 65? Like, yeah, that will be me, Jessica.
Right. Who is physically exuding comedic excellence at all
literally
times.
Sure. The part where she's like, oh, I don't drink from the tap. I'm like, yes, Jane. She's a temp.
And she like dons her iconic like Lisa Rinna wig, like her flip down bob the whole time, which I love. I love her in that look.
Yes. And she keeps calling J-Lo a temp.
Right.
And like just the like the subtext under the word temp is like the way she plays it is so amazing.
She's so good.
Yeah, so good.
J-Lo, iconic. Of course, Julia, Meg Ryan. I mean, I think Julia and Meg are sort of in the same
stratosphere. Like,
yeah, right?
Yes. I literally was thinking about You've Got Mail today.
Cause I read this article before we started recording about how throughout like each decade the rom-coms change and like they change depending on like what girl adds her twist to it and like kind of changes the genre. And they talked about how in the 80s like all of the rom-com girls were like Molly Ringwald was like the rom-com girl, and she was like really flawed and like almost like an anti-hero, like she was poor and she was insecure, and she had like real, like, not certain in comparison to where it got in the early 2000s, like she was such like a deep character, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then in the 90s, it was Julia and Meg, and they were like, you know,
the cutest.
Just like the cutest, and like also like the girls who like they had everything working against them, kind of thing. Like they're like they invented the trope of being like clumsy and tripping over things, and like
you and know, then, like giggling, like giggling while they do it. So it's like, right, really right. endearing. And I feel like Meg Ryan was like the type A version of that, whereas Julia was always like the rough around the edges version of that. Even totally. In like Mystic Pizza, like I a role that I've aged out of that I would love to play. Her role in Mystic Pizza, where it's like she's hot and good at pool and like rough around the yep. edges, but has this like big heart and just like so much like vulnerability just like pouring out of her. And I just think, yeah, Meg and Julia both did that brilliantly in the 90s.
Right. And then it became another person on the list that I kept reading about, Julia Stiles.
No!
She is a romantic, she is considered a romantic comedy queen. They call her.
That like upsets me. I literally was like talking to my friend Taylor last night, and I, out of nowhere, like nothing prompted it, I was just like, I don't like Julia Stiles' face. And it's not that I don't think she's pretty. Like, that's not what it's about. She irritates me. Like, something about her, like, viscerally irritates me, and I can't explain it. And I honestly blame the movie Save the Last Dance, because I just think she was so annoying in that movie.
You know, I will say that there's something about her that doesn't, like, translate on camera. Like,
she's just dull.
Yeah, she's really flat. You're right.
And, like, I'm sorry, like, 10 Things I Hate About You, like, perfect movie, but, like, without Heath Ledger as her scene partner, like, that would not have been good. Like, it wouldn't have been the same. We're rooting for them because of Heath and, like, all the nuance he brought to Patrick, and I will stand by that 100%.
Yeah, and I will say that that's my least favorite. I mean, I love that movie, but that's my least favorite kind of, like, the kind of romantic comedy lead that she introduced, I hate. Like, the yeah. dopey... Nobody understands me.
The Lanny Boggs.
Yeah, right. Like, I would never be invited to that party. Why are mm-hmm. you guys even talking to me? Like, it's like the woe is me lead is so annoying.
So annoying. And I will say, like, sorry, but like, hearkening back to Molly Ringwald, like, I think something she did really well, I always think about that scene in Pretty in Pink where she's like, I don't want to go home. Well, I don't want to go out either. And Andrew McCarthy's like, you don't want to go home, you don't want to go out, like, what do you want to do, Andy? Like, what do you want to do? And she's like, well, they don't see where I live. It's like dramatic moment that I clearly always make fun of. But I will say, like, even when she was in those like preppy kid situations where she's clearly like uncomfortable and, you know, out of her league in a way, there was still like an earnestness to her where, like, right. she didn't play the woe is me trope, I don't think, the same way that Julia Stiles did.
Yeah, Julia's is just so, like, it's
she's
just
heavy.
So, yeah, it's heavy, and, like, I don't know. It's not fun to watch to me. Like, I really don't enjoy watching her.
No.
Who else is there? I'm looking at my list. Oh, of course, Jennifer Aniston. What do you think about Jennifer Aniston's movies?
Oh, my gosh. There are a lot that I, like, haven't seen. Like, I haven't seen, like, Just Go With It. Wasn't that a movie she did? Or, like...
It is.
She's done a lot of, like, bad rom-coms. But I will say, I think that she's just adorable. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I know that's not a hot take. Like, everyone loves Jennifer Aniston. But I will say, like, the movie The Breakup, I think, is so underrated. And in that movie, she does that monologue when he, like, doesn't show up at the concert. And she, like, is, like, crying to Gary, to Vince Vaughn, about how he didn't show up. And I just think, like, after that movie, I was like, oh, she's, like, a rom-com queen.
Yeah, I do think that The Breakup is, like, one of the best. Like, it's really...
It's great.
Yeah, it's canon for sure. Like, it's...
Yes. Because
it does all the things that you don't expect it will do. And
mm-hmm.
around the time that movie came out, it was just so many, like, cliche... Like, thanks to her. Thanks to Jennifer Aniston, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like back to back to back to back to back, like cheesy, poorly written,
yes,
like surface, just so such like vapid bullshit romantic comedies.
Oh my God, right? I also love her in Picture Perfect. I think she's so fucking cute in that movie.
Oh yeah. So I always forget about Picture Perfect.
It's not that good, but like she's in it, and like I always want to think that Kevin Bacon's attractive in it, and I just like don't, but she's great in it.
Do you want to listen to some calls?
Yes.
Okay.
I find anything directed by Nancy Myers just like so comforting. And especially because she worked with Meryl Streep and she worked with Diane Keaton and Something's Gotta Give. All those movies are just great.
Okay. Brilliant. All right.
Brilliant. Well, okay. Are you in?
You've ignited us.
I mean, Nancy Myers is like, I'm hot for Nancy Myers. Okay. Yeah. I fucking love her. Like, I literally, like, sometimes I'll think, like, okay, if my boyfriend were to, like, decide that I'm too much and dump me, would I decorate my apartment like, you know, like an 80s like porn palace, like very much like Lady Gaga in American Horror Story Hotel? Or would it be like a hybrid of like Iris's cottage in The Holiday and then like Meg Ryan's apartment in You've Got Mail?
It would be that for sure.
And like, I think that's what it would need to be. And like, again, I'm not manifesting this. I hope it doesn't happen. But I am like, what would my like single girl in my 30s vibe be like? And it's always through like a Nancy Myers lens.
I think comforting is the greatest term to use. Like, she's so good at making films that feel like lived in, if that makes sense.
Yes.
They just feel like, I don't know, like they have a soul. Like, they just feel, I don't know, so like realistic.
Yes, it's like her movies, like watching her movie feels like the houses her movies take place in, where it's like they've been here forever. A movie that she made in 2006 could feel like it was made last year. Like, they have a timelessness and a comforting quality to them that just makes them like the perfect like sick day movie, hangover movie, like night in movie. Like, they're just movies, a movie for all seasons. Like, they're just the best.
You're so right about that.
What's your favorite Nancy Myers, would you say?
Oh, for sure, Something's Gotta Give. For sure.
That's my sister's fave.
What's yours?
Maybe this is like a hot take, but like, I'm in It's Complicated, Girl.
Oh, It's Complicated is great.
It's so good. I just, it has everything I like a bakery and like vibey, like Santa Barbara, like drone shots and like pretty, like Spanish style houses and like a kitchen renovation, like floor plans, like architecture, all the things I like.
I love Nancy Myers too, because she she is somebody who appreciates the talents of like an older actor or actress, and really, really loves to just like shine the most beautiful light on them. Like, the way that she directed Diane Keaton in Something's Gotta Give is like, obviously she's just like a fan of hers, because she understands all of her quirks, all of the things that make her funny, like all of, you know, even like the wardrobe, like her incorporating Diane Keaton's weird quirks into her wardrobe in that movie, like, just adds so much. Like, it's just so thoughtful.
Yeah, she really does have a way of celebrating women in general, and especially women of a certain age, because I think for so long in Hollywood, it was sort of like after a certain age, women just like die off and you don't hear stories about them anymore, or you just don't see them in movies anymore. And Nancy really broke through that. And I also think, I mean, I think what she did with The Parent Trap was brilliant. I fucking love that movie. Like, specifically the moment where Natasha Richardson like sees Hallie as Annie for the first time and she's like, "You're back," and they hug on the stairs. It's like, if you're not crying in that moment, like, I don't know what to tell you.
Right. I also want to ask you about your thoughts on a Cameron Diaz romantic comedy, somebody that I miss with my entire spirit.
I miss her so much. The Sweetest Thing is one of my favorites.
It is. The Sweetest Thing is like, everybody should own that. Like, it's just like, you have to own it.
I had the VHS from Blockbuster previewed. I think I got it for like $8.99 in the previewed bin on VHS. And it was like my go-to, just like, oh, I don't know what to watch, I'll just watch The Sweetest Thing, from like 7th grade until like 12th grade.
I miss Cameron Diaz so fucking much. Like, I miss her so much. I cannot believe that, like, I can't believe we live in a world where Cameron Diaz is no longer an actress. It's so wild to me.
It's really sad. It's like, can her and Britney just come back at the same time? I don't honestly know if I could take it, but like, that's what I need.
Right.
I'm sorry, you go. Well, I was just gonna say, her and Christina Applegate's chemistry in that movie is just like, just jumps out of the TV. Like, it's unbelievable.
It's so good. I just like miss her brand of like quirkiness, like her giggly, goofy, like truly like the definition of like cool girl, but like the actual cool girl, not the cool girl, not the Kelly Ben Simone cool girl.
Yes.
Like the real one, you know?
Yes. Like she is that bitch. Like she doesn't have to try. Like she's just like giggling in like little boys' underwear in Charlie's Angels, like NBD. And it's that's just like her journey. Fun fact, I remember in sixth grade, like after Charlie's Angels came out, everyone started wearing like little boys' underwear, like school. And like in like sixth grade gym class, it was like the first gym class I had where we had to like wear uniforms and like change. And like it was the cool thing to have boys' underwear on. And I remember telling my mom, like, I need boys' underwear. But like because I was like kind of chubby, I just stretched out whatever pattern was on it. And like I did not look like Cameron Diaz, needless to say.
I remember buying like going with my friend to buy those because that was definitely a thing. And her being like, these are like $3. I'm like, yeah, I know. They're little boys' underwear and they're five to a pack.
Yeah.
Oh, we have another call. Let's listen to this one.
Ooh.
Whatever happened to the girl next door chick? Where'd she go?
Oh my gosh. Alicia Cuthbert? Is that her name?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh my god, that movie was like revelatory, I think, for a lot of people in our age group.
That was a big that movie was huge when it came
big
out.
Big deal. Like, yeah, yeah. Yeah. I remember in eighth grade there was this like one friend of mine who she would have people over like every Friday, and her mom would just like let us watch that movie like in like the living room with like a bunch of pubescent boys with us, and I remember thinking like, whoa, that's like really edgy of her mom. And we would watch it like every weekend, and it was like the unrated DVD version, and it was like so scandalous,
right? And you're like, this is obviously just making all of us horny. It's like crazy that you just like let us do this.
It was really crazy. Honestly, looking back, I'm like, okay, inappropriate. But, like, I also remember just thinking that Alicia Cuthbert was, like, the coolest. And then I remember when House of Wax came out and, like, she wasn't the hot one and Paris was the hot one. I remember just being, like, deeply confused where it's like, wait a minute. Like, you dye her hair brown and suddenly we're supposed to accept that she's not the hot one and Paris is. Like, I don't subscribe to this.
I know. It's such, like, she wears glasses energy. Yeah. Like, but now they're off.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me see. I'm going to go through my list again. Okay, so we talked about Cameron. Oh, okay, hello. What do you think about a Sarah Jessica Parker romantic comedy? Because I live.
I already shit on Failure to Launch. But does The Family Stone count as a romantic comedy?
It does. That's actually why I asked you, to be honest.
Because you know that I ride harder than probably anyone for The Family Stone. And I know that's a bold statement, but, like, I am eerily obsessed with that movie. But, yeah, I think SJP is definitely a rom-com queen. I think Failure to Launch was a shitty character, if I'm being honest. Like, her whole job is to just be, like, Trip. Like, that entire movie, she just says Trip's name every other word. And also, like, who names their kid Trip? But, like, no shade. But I do think in The Family Stone... and in Girls Just Want to Have Fun, I'm going to throw that in there as a rom-com.
Oh, yeah.
That she finds just, like, really amazing, just, like, texture in these rom-com characters, unlike anybody else.
This is completely random and, like, out, like, left field. Did you grow up watching Love and Basketball?
No, and I need to.
So, like... When I was younger, I like refused to watch that movie because I had a real strong stance against, you know, sports films.
Yeah, I think that's probably why I never saw it.
I was like, I will not. And like, it's a movie that so many men love. It's most men's favorite rom-com. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I'm not going to like it. Like, it has everything working against it. Basketball, straight men love it. It's out for me.
Yeah.
And then when I got a little bit older, I finally watched it, and I was, like, a blubbering, sobbing, Hannah, it is so not at all what you think it would be.
Okay, but is it sad? Because I also always felt like it was going to be, like, low-key sad.
It's not sad.
Does someone die?
Like, yeah, it's not sad like that. It's sad more so, like, it's just so, like, emotional. Like, it's just so emotionally intense, and, like... The characters have so much chemistry and they're so Like, you really believe that it's real. So it's, like, sad like that, kind of, you know?
Yeah.
And it's more so, like, the sports element of it and the thing that makes it so fun and, like, so cool as a romantic comedy is that it's about, like, the underlying theme of that movie is about, like, she plays women's basketball and he plays men's basketball. And, like, everything that they go through parallels each other, but it's, like, so much easier for him always. Like, everything is always easier for him. And, like, she has such a harder go at it simply because she plays women's basketball. And they're, like, competitive since they're kids. And it's just, you gotta, like, watch it as soon as you possibly can. It will become one of your favorite movies of all time.
Okay, I'm not kidding. That's gonna be, like, my Saturday morning snuggle movie tomorrow.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, like, everything people say about it, all of it's true. It's so fucking
okay. Good. I'm honestly really excited to, like, be late to the party because then I can talk about it with anyone.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'll be like, hey, have you seen Love and Basketball? Let's talk about it. I'll talk to everybody you. Will be like, you know
yes.
That.
Yes, yeah. Girl.
Where have you been?
Yeah, like, I saw it when I was 9.
Yeah, for me, it was always, like, dance movies, yes. Sports movies, absolutely not.
Oh, you couldn't pay me.
Same.
You couldn't pay me. You couldn't trick me. Like,
I haven't seen Mighty Ducks. I'm like, why would I see that?
No, I have seen that, and it's exactly what you think it'll be. Every single moment of it is exactly what you think it will be.
And, like, I'm sorry to be this person, but it's, like, the only sports movies I've seen are, like, when I thought the guys in it were hot. So, like, when I was little, I loved The Sandlot because I loved Benny the Jet. I thought he was so hot. And, like, right. And, like, this is, like, kind of weird, but I liked Rudy because I thought that, like, Sean Astin was hot in that.
Listen, I get it. I get it. Did you – were you, like, what's that show called? The football show everybody loves?
Friday Night Lights. Never seen it.
Me neither. People hate that, though. Hate. And they're they always say, no, you don't get it. It's not it's not about good. Football. And I'm like, I just can't. It's like, it's so football-y. I can tell.
It's like, I literally can tell from, like, the poster. And also, like, I saw the movie of Friday Night Lights, and I remember thinking, like, this is too sports heavy. And, like, it's not like Remember the Titans, where it's, like, the sports is secondary, and you're, like, really just rooting for all the characters. It was, like, Friday Night Lights was, like, a football movie. And I was, like, this is boring.
Yeah, like, Friday Night Lights is a good example, or, like Varsity Blues. Like, that's about as far as I can go.
Yeah.
Totally. I don't want your life. What other romantic comedies aside from, because I knew, first of all, can I just ask you what it is about The Family Stone, why, who, what, when, where, and what had happened?
Oh my gosh, so I remember seeing it in the theater in high school, and it was one of those movies kind of like literally stepmom adjacent where the trailer was like, this is going to be a family comedy. And I thought, and we were like, what the fuck? That was so sad. And I really think I just learned to love it more the older I got because I just really liked a lot of the actors in it. Rachel McAdams as Amy is like me. So like, I think just that narcissistic side of me is like, I'm such an Amy. And so I like it for that reason. I think the house in it is beautiful. Like visually, I just love like the clutter and how like cozy that house is. I love Diane Keaton. I love Craig T. Nelson. I love what SJP does with it. Like I love an ensemble movie in general. And then like, sorry to bring down the mood, but like losing my mom young, like I just think it's kind of something that we don't really talk about in enough Christmas movies of like, just those gaps you feel at Christmas when you're not with the people you love or like that first Christmas after you lose someone. And it's such a visceral feeling that I just hold that movie in such high regard because I'm like, oh my God, like someone wrote a movie who like gets it. And so it's just very comforting to me now. But it is one of those movies where like when I say I want to watch it, my friends will kind of be like, are you okay? And I'm like, I fucking want to watch it, okay? Just like get off my dick.
Yeah, like I want to feel it. Let me feel it.
Yeah, let me feel it. Come on.
No, I get that. And it's a lot. There's a lot of, I love like physically funny women. Like, I love a woman who can do physical comedy. Like, there's just nothing, more funny than watching Diane Keaton hit a line back. Like,
come on.
I mean, can you imagine what her cutting room floor takes look like, the ones that they don't use? Like, it's just, oh, she's so good.
In the movie Because I Said So, like, the level of physical comedy that Diane Keaton did was out of hand. Like, it was unhinged.
Oh my God. Low key,
I love that movie. And again, it's not good. Like, that's a bad movie. It does have our Queen Mandy in it, but Because I Said So is such a comfort food movie to me too.
I'm sorry, by the way, I like have a cough, and it's from the fact that I never stop talking. That's dark.
That's fair. Yeah.
It's like today I've been talking for 10 straight hours. I haven't talked.
No, Troy. Absolutely not.
Dead serious. But no, yeah. And also her physical comedy, I know it's like cliche to bring this movie up and you talk about her, but like her physical comedy in First Wives Club, like as a kid, had such a crazy impact on me.
Yes.
Like because I learned what physical comedy was by watching that movie so much. Not by like watching Jim Carrey or anything. It was like watching Diane Keaton. Like, oh my God.
You know what I mean? Yes. Honestly, even down to the way that like Diane Keaton like shakes her head when she's mad and the way her hair moves, like, is hilarious. But she's like, I'm the nice one. And like her hair, her like bangs move, like they flutter. It's fucking hilarious.
And when she does those random,
Oh my God, that monologue she does in like Baby Boom about how she wants like water that's not brown or whatever she's like ranting about. And she just loses it. Jake, my boyfriend, like actually like is very annoyed by Diane Keaton. He's like, oh, she does the same thing all the time. And I'm like, you bite your tongue, sir.
Yeah, some people do the same thing all the time because they're so fucking good at it.
It's because we love it. Come on. Wait, you know what rom-com I hate? That like I think it's like comically bad. Raising Helen.
I don't know if I've ever seen Raising Helen.
Troy, when I tell you, I remember like after my parents got divorced, like the only thing my dad knew to do with my sister and I on the weekends was just like take us to a movie to like kill time. And every now and then he would actually let us pick the movie. Normally he would just drag us to whatever boring movie he wanted to see. And I remember that weekend my sister and I were like, Raising Helen, like we want to see it. And it was like, I remember we left and we were like, Dad, we're really sorry. Like that was a really bad movie. And my dad was like, oh, thank God, at least like we're all on the same page this time.
This is like one of those movies that I can just.
Oh no. Wait, it's reconnecting. Did my internet get fucked up?
Wait, sorry, Troy,
what'd you say? Yeah, I lost you for a second.
Okay. I said that that's one of those movies that I can tell just from the cover art is bad. Like, you can just kind of look at it. It's like, it just looks bad.
God. She's like in her Uggs, which was just like so of the moment, and like a little short set. Like, get out of here.
She's like, look at my little Uggs. They're rolled down. Like,
with my curly hair. Like, that was when, like, after How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, they're like, we're going to let Kate wear her hair curly in this movie. It's going to be wild. And she's in her, like, cute, like, bohemian, like, curly hair with her, like, Uggs, just being, like, a cool bohemian girl in New York City.
Right.
Speaking of cool bohemian girls in New York City, can we take a minute to talk about Brittany Murphy's performance in Uptown Girls?
Oh, my God.
Fuck.
Also, I mean, honestly, Dakota Fanning is also just so crazy. Like, as a kid, Dakota Fanning, there is no child actor that made me hysterically cry more than Dakota Fanning. Oh, my God.
Her heart was just, like, open. Like, you were just watching a child experience things for the first time in these movies in such a way that just, like, breaks your fucking heart.
Have you ever seen Man on Fire?
No. And have you seen I Am Sam? Because I have not.
Oh, absolutely.
I've never seen it. Isn't that fucked up?
If you listen, I don't know about you, but there are some days where I truly am like, I want to sob. Like, I want to watch a movie that makes me cry so hard that my stomach hurts. Man on Fire is truly, I've never had a crying experience in a movie ever. Until this day, no movie makes me cry like that. Like, I don't even like to watch it around people because it's, like, ugly cry.
I love like an ugly cry movie moment alone, especially when you're like a little bit drunk, like you're a little wine drunk and you're just like crying to the point where your face is just like puffy and swollen and you're just like, you're like yeah. Kim Kardashian, like, or no, like Sarah Paulson crying where you're like,
let's play. We have three calls. Let's play these calls.
Oh my God.
Just wanted to say hey and that I love you both. Hannah, I'm listening to your Gossip Girl rewatch podcast. And it's fucking incredible. And Troy, the Blackout Britney episode was the highlight of my fucking week.
Oh, yay! Julia! Thank you!
Julia Guglia! Speaking of rom-com queens.
Right? Oh my God, fun! Thanks for listening to the Blackout episode.
Oh my God, I still need to get to that, Troy. It's going to be my walk soundtrack for tomorrow.
It was fun. It was really, really fun, honestly. You'll like it.
You know I could listen to you talk about Britney, like, literally until the end of time.
I've really pushed it this month. The Aries really jumped out this month, and I said, you know what I want to talk about for 30 straight days? Britney Jean Spears.
It's your birthday gift to yourself. By the way, what are your birthday plans? Happy almost birthday!
Thanks! Well, I get my first dose the day of my birthday, which I think is crazy. Oh my
gosh. Which one are you getting?
Why can't I think of what's the one with the P?
Pfizer.
For, yeah, this is literally what I, that's my job, by the way. I say that word literally probably over 1,000 times a day.
Oh my gosh. Well, mazel tov.
Thank you. And yeah, and then I'm just going to get drunk after.
Oh, I wish I was there, but someday we'll be together in person.
I know. I can't believe I'm so old. I feel like very, very ancient.
Yeah, how do you feel to be turning 21?
I'm just excited to be able to go to the bars and buy my own beer or whatever.
And have Usual Wines as a sponsor because you have legal drinking age.
Right. It's a full glass per bottle. Oh, let's play another call.
Hey, I got here late, so I don't know if you already talked about this, but can you rate your favorite Drew Barrymore rom-coms?
Ooh.
Thank you.
Ooh. Okay.
Chloe, I love that.
Yeah. Wait, Chloe, am I following you? Let me check. I'm following you now. Okay. Well, all right. Oh my God, there's so many. My favorite Drew Barrymore rom-com is Never Been Kissed, for sure.
Same. Can we just take, I'm sorry to go on a tangent, but can we take a minute to just talk about at the end when he doesn't show up on time and the look on her face? He's not going to show up. It's like so perfectly played. And then when the Beach Boys kicks in and Michael Vartan runs onto the field, like perfect.
It's so perfect. It's so iconic. Like,
yeah,
that scene is just such iconic, you know, I mean, it just really like set the bar for like that generation of rom-coms. Like she really had such a huge impact on like what the late 90s, early 2000s rom-com looked like.
And it's beautifully shot. And also, I'm sorry, like, I want to play the Molly Shannon role in that movie. Like, I just want to be the funny, like, slutty work friend. Like, that's all I want.
Always.
Okay, ranking now. Let's get back to it.
All right. Okay, God, there's so many. Because there's those. And then I'm going to be honest. The Wedding Singer.
Oh, never seen it all the way through. Sorry, guys. I have to get on that.
It's, you know, it's good. I think it's a little... It's one of those where I'm like, all right, guys, calm down. Calm down.
I think that's why I've never really watched it, because, like, aesthetically, it just seems so stylized that it's, like, borderline irritating.
Right.
Like, I have to be in the mood for something like that. It's almost to me like So I Married an Axe Murderer. Like, when I'm in the mood for that movie, I think it's the funniest movie ever. But then other times, I'm just like, shut up. Like, I can't.
No, I totally get that.
Yeah.
Fuck, she's in so many. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Oh, barely. My God. Okay, Never Been Kissed, The Wedding Singer, Fever Pitch, Home Fries,
oh my God,
50 First Dates, Music and Lyrics,
oh my God,
My Date with Drew, Riding in Cars with Boys, Mad Mad Love. That's my favorite.
I've never seen that.
Okay, so Mad Love is peak, Manic Pixie Dream Girl Drew 90s. It's like 94, 95. So it's like flower power, like dandelion in the hair, very lispy, no bra. I'm going to stand on the on David Letterman's table, Drew. It's that Drew. Love. And in Mad Love, she's, now mind you, this is the 90s, so the way that it's handled is psychotic. But in Mad Love, she is a like young girl that has bipolar disorder. Mm-hmm. And she's really wealthy, like rich parents. And she meets a guy and like he falls in love with her during like a peak manic episode.
Oh my God. So it's like that episode of Modern Love with Anne Hathaway, but like before it ever happened.
Right. Yeah. And she like just basically puts him through hell and he like loves her. And that's why it's called Mad Love. I'm sure I haven't watched it in a long time, and I'm sure it's extremely politically incorrect now because it's about bipolar disorder in 95. Right. So I'm sure it's fucking psychotic. But totally. It's great.
Oh my God. I'll have to check that one out.
Yeah, there's a lot of these, and some of them are absolutely dreadful. He's just not that into terrible.
Oh my God, that movie, I remember when, like, seeing the trailer for the first time, like, any of those, like, was that a Gary Marshall movie, or was it just in the same, it was around the same time that he was doing, like, Valentine's Day and stuff, but all these, like, all those, like, ensemble movies, I remember, like, seeing the trailers come out when I was in, like, high school and, like, early college and being, like, insulted that, like, I wasn't asked, where it's like, okay, well, clearly everyone who's anyone was asked. And no one contacted me in the middle of nowhere, Illinois, to ask me to be in this movie. And then I remember seeing them having such high hopes because they just got everyone who was relevant, and then they were all bad.
That's how I always feel when I see Jessica Alba and Jessica Biel kikiing at the Oscars. I'm like, can I come then?
Yeah, literally. It's like, clearly you're letting anyone come. I have to tell you, there was one job I worked here in LA. It was at a spin studio. And my first morning, like 5:30 or 6 in the morning, Jessica Alba comes in and she's like, does someone have gum? Like, I just get really dizzy, like on the bike. And I remember thinking to myself, like, holy shit, you were in Never Been Kissed. Like, I just thought that in my head, where it's like, out of all the things Jessica Alba has done, I was the most happy to be in the presence of someone who is in the movie Never Been Kissed, because I just remember thinking she was the coolest in that movie. Also, justice for Marley Shelton. I'm obsessed with Marley Shelton.
Oh, me too.
I saw her at a cafe once last year, and we like made eye contact, and she like politely smiled at me, and I wanted to be like, you need to know that I love you, and I'm like waiting for your comeback, but I didn't say that.
She's so iconic. She was so good in Scream. And she was so good in Grindhouse too.
Yes, and Sandlot and Warriors of Virtue, that weird like kangaroo like ninja movie.
Right. Yeah.
Iconic. Yes.
She's another real good physical comedy girl.
Yes.
Yeah, Drew's there's so many bad Drew films that it's hard to like, there's so many great ones and so many bad ones. It's like the gray area is like there is none.
Totally. It's like aggressive ends of the spectrum. Like they're either amazing or like absolute crap.
Yeah, and like her and Adam Sandler really overstayed their welcome it's like enough.
I was gonna say that I'm like repelled by an Adam Sandler rom-com. Like if he's the romantic lead, like it's like 1-800, I'm not interested.
Whoa, 1000%. He makes me, I'm like I can't stand him.
Me neither. I like the way he talks. He's like, in Spanglish, like in Spanglish, we're supposed to be like rooting for him. And he's like, being like a good guy just is enough to drive you crazy. This is like a bad like Christopher Walken impression. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. But I remember in Spanglish, like I was supposed to think he was like just a nice dad who like had an indiscretion. And I'm like, listen, I know Taya Leone is like insufferable in that movie, but it's like, you're still like cheating on your wife. And like, that's not okay. Like emotionally.
You know, the only movie I've ever liked him in was, it was, like, I like Waterboy. I mean, mostly because of Kathy Bates, though, let's be honest.
Right. I like Big Daddy.
Big Daddy's cute. And I like Punch Drunk Love, because
I've never seen that movie.
A little emo boy. It's so good. His only, like, really serious. Yeah, I do. I honestly, I love, I love when movies make me cry. Like, I, like, seek Same. Out movies that I know will make me ugly cry when I'm alone.
Oh, my God. Have you seen the movie Onward? It's, like, a Disney movie.
I don't think so.
That movie, like, fucked me up at the beginning of the pandemic. And, like, I just, like, 10 out of 10 would recommend.
Wait, I'll write it in my notes.
No, write Onward? In your notes. Onward. Yeah, so good. I've really been wanting to watch Step Mom lately. Like, sorry to bring it up again, but, like, let's just bring it full circle to Julia. Like, she is so perfect in that movie.
Oh, my God. She's so good. And her little wig. And,
oh, yes. Her sassy little wig. And baby Jenna Malone just being, like, an asshole to her that whole movie. When Julia Roberts picks up the phone, she goes, "What the fuck is your problem?" And she goes, "You are my problem."
And nobody cusses like Julia.
No, you're right.
She's so good. Have you seen August August Osage County?
August Osage County. Yes.
Fun fact about August Osage County.
Yeah. Fun fact about August Osage County, that started as a Chicago play at the Steppenwolf Theater, and my dad is friendly with Jeff Perry, and I got to, like, crash a rehearsal of it, like, before it ever premiered, and then I got to see, like, the original run, and then I remember when they made the movie, and it was really cool. It was, like, a formative moment for me, but then I remember seeing the movie and just seeing, like, all the Chicago actors who didn't make the cut and Julia getting the lead and me being like, whoa, Hollywood is a wild place.
Holy shit, and she, like, killed it.
Yeah. Oh my God, yeah. It's so good. So good.
Another fun fact about August Osage County is that it's where a Pioneer Woman lives, and me and my best friend Katie have contemplated many times. She's, like, from Osage County. And
oh my God.
We've contemplated going there a bunch of times because she basically owns the town. Like, because she's obviously the wealthiest person in the town. She's, like, insanely rich. Wait,
who is Pioneer Woman?
Oh, that's Ree Drummond. She's on the Food Network.
Oh, wow. I was like, am I supposed to know who this person is? Okay, keep going.
Well, no, she's just, like, this gingy on the Food Network, and, like, she's, like, she's, like, the Ina Garten of women who budget shop. Like,
amazing.
I don't know. She's just, like, she's a cultural phenomenon amongst gals. I'm obsessed with her, and she owns that town, basically. She's, like, a Food Network lady, and she basically owns that little town and just builds shit that, like, she's, like, has a monopoly on that, on all of Osage, because it's in the desert, wow, in the middle of nowhere, and she can just build shit, and then everybody has to shop at her places.
That sounds incredible. What a dream. I need to research this woman.
Oh, my God. You would love the Pioneer Woman. She's iconic.
You should go. You should visit. And then you should reenact all of Julia's scenes from August Osage County while you're visiting Osage.
Eat the fish, bitch!
I feel like she does. She's so good at swearing. It just makes her seem so cool. Like, it just sounds cooler coming out of her face.
Yeah, like, all of her, the times that she swears in Erin Brockovich, they, like, make it a point to really, like, zoom in on her face when she's swearing, because it's like, yes, Julia's cussing.
Yes.
Amazing. Well, do you want to listen to these calls before we wrap up?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay,
I am from Manchester, New Hampshire, which is where Adam Sandler's from. And it's literally inescapable the amount of fucking townies that'll be like, my hairdresser, she's his cousins with Adam Sandler, so pretty cool. Like, that's nothing. He's nothing. Oh my God, Adam fucking Sandler, man. The bane of my existence in Manchester.
Oh my God, being haunted by Adam Sandler, not by choice. That sucks, Julia. I feel your pain.
And there's nothing worse, as somebody who grew up in a town where there's, like, I grew up where LeBron is from, and I don't care about.
Where did you grow up?
Well, I grew up in a suburb off of Cleveland called Akron.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And LeBron is from here, and, like, I grew up seeing him a lot because he went to my rival high school, and I don't care about basketball. So,
yeah, we've been over this.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, having people be like, yeah, you know, LeBron,
I work at the Pulp up there on West Market, and LeBron's mom came in and had a black card. Yeah, pretty crazy. My friend said you saw LeBron in the car. And I was like, mm-hmm.
You're like, neato.
I mean.
Wait, we have some more messages from Julia.
I feel like you're either an iNet girl or a Pioneer girl. I just had to say it. I'm an iNet girl.
Oh my God, iNet girl as well.
Those are the rules. Like, you either, that is the Food Network rule. You either gravitate towards the Pioneer woman, which is fine, or you gravitate towards Ina. Ina raised me.
Right. Here's the thing. I'm not, sorry, finish your thought.
No, I was just going to say she just lives inside my DNA.
Ina's like so comforting. Here's my issue with Food Network is like, I get hungry. So like, I have a hard time investing because I get pissed off that like, I don't get to like eat the roast chicken like through the TV. So this is why I don't really like, I dabble and like, I know Ina, but like, I can't really decide which kind of gal I am until I really delve into Pioneer Woman.
I get that. I don't have an immediate reaction where I'm like, oh, I got to eat something right now, but it does affect what I'll eat later, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, it sort of stays in my brain.
Yes.
Okay, let's finish out these messages.
Troy, one of my best friends grew up in Akron, and she, too, could not escape the amount of people saying they fucking knew LeBron. It's hilarious.
I'm not kidding. I went, a couple years ago, I took a trip to New York to visit my friend, and mm-hmm. I go every year, but I, like, brought our other mutual friends too, and they had never gone. And I was like, just so you know, every single person that Katie introduces us to is going to ask you about LeBron. And they're like, oh, why? And I was like, because like, we're from Akron, and like, they're going to ask you. And it was literally like every single person was like, wait, do you know LeBron? Wait, so like, okay, tell me everything. Like, what's he like? So like, is he just like walking around your town? Wait, that's crazy. So like, did he go to your high school? Oh my God, that's crazy. So like, wait, like, fuck.
You're like, you need to know that you're in the presence of a celebrity, the celebrity being me. So why don't you fucking pay attention to me and ask me about myself like a polite person?
I'm like, in 2001, Britney Spears made her appearance in our small town.
Oh my God, did she though? That's amazing.
Well, she just toured here.
Wow, that's incredible.
Oh wait, we have a call that I missed from earlier. I'm sorry, Leah. I'll play this one now.
The Family Stone. I'm really embarrassed to say that I just recently saw like the cover of the Family Stone poster for the first time, where it's like the person like holding up their ring finger and there's like an engagement ring on their finger. And it was not until I saw that poster that I realized that the Family Stone was a double entendre, referring both to the family and the ring. Whoa.
I love that poster. It's so simple.
It is. I know exactly what you're talking about as soon as you bring it up.
Right. Also, like, wouldn't it be a red flag if, like, you were about to get engaged to someone and they, like, asked your sibling to, like, casually try the ring on? Like, that would alarm me a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, maybe don't ask my sister to try the ring on.
Let's get your beautiful sister in here and see if it looks good on her hand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, what?
Can you fucking not?
Well, Hannah, thanks so much for doing this with me tonight. I have to stop talking or I don't know if you can tell. I'm like gagging up a storm.
You're a star. Thank you so much for having me on. This was truly just the utmost pleasure. I could talk about rom-coms or really anything with you until the end of time. So thank you so much for sharing this hour with me.
Of course. Thank you to everybody left in the room, all four people. And talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Dunzo. This podcast is a part of the Solid Listen Network. Please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe if you haven't already. Also, be sure to check out our Patreon at patreon.com/solidlisten for exclusive content. You can follow me on Twitter at Troy McGee, and you can follow the podcast on all forms of social media at Dunzo Pod. That's D-U-N-Z-O.
Thank you to executive producer Molly McAleer and coordinating producer Nicole Matthew.